Now, government formation, Christina, let's start with the numbers, I suppose.
Yeah, so.
Too short of the magic number. We have to assume that anyone who's tuned into the late debate at 10 o'clock is fully engaged in this. And but the maths are what the maths are.
Yeah, so obviously Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have the numbers just shy of a majority. And now the dancing has begun between the other parties and how we might cobble together a government. Micheál Martin was out earlier today saying, look, hold your horses. Doesn't look like we're getting a government by Christmas, that it's more likely to be, you know, after the new year. But who knows? So obviously we have a lot of meetings happening, parliamentary party meetings happening tomorrow. And basically parties will be discussing and debating the next steps forward. And obviously in the last week, we've had the main centre discussion has been about Labour, the Soc Dems. And if people remember before, throughout the election campaign, the talk was that Labour would be a preference, perhaps, of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. But now, look, they have such a high majority together. Do they really need, a left-wing centre, you know, party yeah. coming in and making them have to concede on some of their policies? I don't think so. So now I see the conversation moving a lot more towards the independence. And just shortly before coming into studio, Verona Murphy was on Primetime, I believe, discussing where she would stand with other like-minded independents and discussing possibly negotiating as a bloc. So I think
Sean Canny being one of them, maybe yeah. Kevin Boxer Moore and being another who's
yeah,
been
the,
in government
the
before.
Independent Alliance, sorry, might be getting the band back together, maybe, right. Who knows.
Finian's guitar will be missing.
Well, Finian McGrath had his protege, Barry Hennigan,
yeah,
so
it, yeah.
He might be the new band member, who knows. But
Yes, but I
spoke to Sean yesterday, actually, and
I did, sorry, by just fact check on this, I did ask Barry if he played the guitar on the point of his election. He said his only point in common was with Finian McGrath was his moustache and his politics. He couldn't stretch the guitar playing.
Oh, well.
But anyway, sorry,
who
continue.
But, so we'll see where that lands. I was speaking to Sean yesterday and he was taking issue with, you know, this narrative. He said that having independence in government makes for the government to be more unstable, saying that, you know, when the Independent Alliance were in, it was actually, I think he said, Simon Harris and the motion of confidence in him that was put down by the opposition, which ultimately led to the end of that government. But look, I can remember covering politics at the time when you had Finian McGrath, John Halligan, Shane Ross. It made for interesting times, definitely. But look, they all had their sort of wish lists, their demands going in. Things like the Waterford Cath Lab, Garda stations. I think Finian McGrath had cystic fibrosis as one of his priority care there for people with that. So if Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael can, you know, deliver on those issues, I think, that independents want, I think you could possibly have a smooth sailing without having to concede on things like taxation, which, you know, you would have to do with the likes of the Labour Party.
Yeah, OK. Malcolm Byrne, Oscailge Micheál Martin did say we could have most of the work done by Christmas. We'd have to focus on the issues. I don't think we'll have reached agreement by Christmas, but I'm sure that most people in the country want us to form a government as quickly as we can. So the prospect of, I'm sure as a public representative, no more than your party leader, there's an awareness there that there may be a bit of public fatigue with this dragging along too far. If people really feel that it's sort of shadow boxing over marginal gains in government formation talks.
I think the first thing that needs to happen is our parliamentary party meeting takes place tomorrow. It's a larger Fianna Fáil parliamentary party now with 48 TDs. And I know from among colleagues, the focus of the discussion tomorrow will be on policy, will be on what we want to see in the programme for government. And we want to be very clear that those issues that we regard as a priority and without doubt addressing some of the challenges in housing, it's going to be our top priority, but also issues like access to disability services, special needs education, mental health services, investment in public services. That's going to be core to Fianna Fáil's negotiating strategy for any programme for government, whether it's with Fine Gael, whether it's with Labour and the Social Democrats or Independents or anyone else. So from a policy perspective, we're going to be very clear.
Just explain that one to me, because you obviously you went into the election with your manifesto. That would be, you know, what people would understand to be what you would like to be the basis for the programme for government. But having gone through an election campaign now, you kind of know what flew and what didn't. So, you know, the gym tax, for example, may not be a core policy commitment that you'd have there. And there indeed may be opposition ideas that caught some traction that may be worth taking on board in the programme for government. So there'll have to be perhaps a kind of a new policy programme for a programme for government, would there?
Well, I think programme for government will reflect a lot of what's in the manifesto, but I don't think that we should necessarily oppose, you know, if opposition comes up with good ideas, we shouldn't oppose it. I mean, I particularly think the Labour Party was constructive during the last Dáil, and especially on issues like housing and so on. So my personal view is I'd favour that we should have discussions with the Labour Party and Social Democrats, if not necessarily about them going into government, but looking at positive ideas to be able to address some of the challenges that we see.
I will come back to you on this and to Jennifer Cavanagh as well, but I want to go to Thomas Gould, the Sinn Féin TD for Cork North Central, who's in our Cork studio. So, Thomas Gould, look, I mean, Eoghan O'Brien, your party colleague for Dublin Midwest, he was out on Morning Ireland this morning. He conceded that, you know, all things being equal, there was disappointment about the election result, down 5.5%, down 120,000 votes. A good return of TDs, more than last time, clearly, but in the context of a Dáil that's at 174. The main job for Sinn Féin, it would appear at this stage, is to be the main party of opposition. So does that begin now with trying to exert pressure as these policy discussions go on in the context of government formation and coalition formation?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on the show, and it's good to be
back. Yeah, you're more than welcome. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for making the time after a long few days, and indeed to all our panellists tonight.
Yeah, and I suppose we're going to have a parliamentary party meeting tomorrow now, which is, as you said, is going to be, we have extra TDs. We've lost a few, unfortunately. Martin Brown, Pauline Tully and Chris Andrews, really good people that will be missed. But we've gained extra seats then, and so we're coming back as the second biggest party in this Dáil, which really does a lot of work we have to do. And like what we're hoping to do now tomorrow is, I suppose, assess where we are now and put our best foot forward. And as you know, the Mary Lou has been in contact with the Social Democrats and the Labour Party and other like-minded smaller parties and independents to see where we can put a platform together. And I just listened to the points you made to Malcolm Dear and Fianna Fáil. Like, this isn't a done deal yet. The question here now is whether Fianna Fáil want Fine Gael as a junior partner, or whether Fine Gael will accept being a junior partner, and if Fine Gael demand equal time as Taoiseach and equal amount of ministers, will the 48 Fianna Fáil TDs accept that? So, like, this isn't all rosy in the garden yet between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. And as you know, a week is a long time in politics, and if they're not going to form a government until January, there's a lot of banana skins between here and there before this gets over the line.
All right. You'd concede, though, on the appearance of it, like going into the election, both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael said they wanted to form a coalition with like-minded parties. In the case of Fianna Fáil, who'll have the most seats in this, Micheál Martin said he wanted somebody who was a coalition partner who had a pro-enterprise agenda, who was pro-European, and that was pointing heavily in the direction of Fine Gael. And on the pro-European aspect and other policy matters, that was at least a signal to Labour. But I mean, if it is the case that Sinn Féin winds up being the lead party of opposition, I suppose there's also areas where differences have to be smoothed out on the opposition benches as well. Are like differences between yourselves, the Social Democrats and Labour, on climate, on migration, in the case of People Before Profit, they are, you know, have, I suppose, a different attitude to maybe the Dáil being the only central focus for where change can be achieved. They would see that happening out on the street as much as in the Dáil. So there are differences there if a cohesive left-wing opposition is to be put together over for the next 5 years.
Well, just getting back to your first point in relation to Micheál Martin, and there's no doubt that the Dáil rests with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, and we accept that, but they still have to get over the line. And the one thing I would say, I drove into the studio in Cork tonight. There are people sleeping on the streets tonight. And it's all well and good they tarnished in the Taoiseach talking about coming together with about the economy and about Europe. You're looking at people sleeping on the streets tonight. It's a freezing cold night in Cork now. It's cold there tonight, wet and damp. So if they're going to be getting their heads together, they should be looking at that, because I know that when Mary Lou meets with the other parties, left-wing parties and groupings and independents, and that's what we're going to try to put in place, a platform that we can agree how we want to move forward together. And a lot of our policies, like I run the Housing Committee and I work with members of the Labour Party, Social Democrats, People Before Profit and Independents. And we've done some really good work on the Housing Committee in the last nearly 5 years. So we have a proven track record. And when it comes to bills, we put motions in. Sometimes we co-sign motions where we come together, where we think we have the same policies. So, like, we have a proven track record in the Dáil, both in the chamber and in committees okay. that we work together.
I want to go to Jennifer Cavanagh on this. So, coalition talks, Jennifer Cavanagh, I suppose it's to build a government, but it's also to future-proof the government against an active opposition. So would you expect to see potential policy changes in a government in order to try and maybe future-proof the government against the criticism that was weighed against both manifestos in the first instance, and maybe to kind of sow a bit of division on the opposition benches where some bits of the programme for government might be areas where some elements of the opposition will see fit to cooperate with government?
Exactly, because at the moment, looking at the numbers, it is looking more like Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and some independents. I mean, we've had the dance of the seven veils. It's almost like the dance now of the seven different permutations that could be, you know, technically put together. But look, all manifestos are essentially wish lists. I mean, you are setting out what you would like to do if you were going to be the only party in government. But that was never going to happen. Nobody ran enough numbers for that. It's always going to have to be a compromise. And you do find as well that what might have been in the manifestos for the other parties that would be on the opposition, that the government can start criticising them about that by saying, well, if you're criticising us doing this, look at what you had in your manifesto. So there will be a certain amount of pulling them together. I really do think that Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and the independents will be the safest. Yes, it is more spinning plates there to be worked around, because instead of saying having three spinning plates of Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and a smaller party, you will have the independents. They do like to have their drama. Christine is completely right. I remember John Halligan claiming that he would go because of the cat lab situation. But it is easier to deal with people who are looking specifically at the issues in their area and trying to get something around that, than linking up with a party that is going to be more ideological, say the Social right. Democrats or Labour, and they will, because I remember...
The disadvantage of that, though, is that if independents are in a tight constituency competition with your own representatives but get to claim credit for major projects in that constituency, it causes discontent within your own party if you're in
However,
government.
There is a huge incumbent advantage in Irish politics, more than any other European country. So if you're in, you do tend to have the power to stay in. Now, unfortunately, didn't work out for some of them that were there. But if you have a party that's very ideological based going in, they've seen what happened to the Greens. They've seen what's happened before. They won't want to be the sacrificial lamb, never mind the mudguard.
Okay, Christina, just in terms of the what you know, everybody is talking about, the parliamentary parties will talk. There'll be, I suppose, an element of the leadership taking soundings on that. Mm-hmm. people may already have been, you know, come to the party leadership, for example, from the constituencies of Clare, in the case of Fianna Fáil, where there are two representatives, Cork North West, again, two representatives, Cork South Central, same again, Kildare North, Carlow Kilkenny, three TDs there, Kerry, Donegal, there'll be expectations from the representatives there to be part of the shake-up for a cabinet. And on Fine Gael's case, Dunlera, Longford, Westmead, Dublin, Rathdown and Mayo, all of those will have expectations. And that's before you even get into the issues of gender, geography and rotating Taoiseach.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one, I think, for Micheál Martin to balance, because there are only a certain amount of seats and a certain amount of jobs to divvy out. And there's no doubt about it, there will be some disappointed people, I would think, when those decisions are made. But there is already speculation about different TDs and what jobs they might be looking at. There was actually talk about it throughout the election campaign itself between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael and the Justice Ministry and all that. But I think it will be a difficult one to Micheál Martin to balance as well, if he's with Fine Gael in that, how he divides up. Look, they have 10 extra seats. I would think the lean is more on, you know, Simon Harris in terms of the compromises he's going to have to make. And then if you throw in a few independents as well, that also, you know, takes away perhaps another one or two seats. You know, in the Independent Alliance, you had Dennis Nocton, I think, and Catherine Sabone taking ministry, Shane Ross as well. So look, there's only so many seats, so there's definitely going to be some disappointed people.
Let's have a look at the policy issue, Malcolm Byrne. Look, just on the day that people went down to the polling stations, we found out that homelessness figure, people in emergency accommodation, was four short of 15,000. It's only going in one direction unless the next government really grabs the bull by the horns and does something about housing in this country. And there is a massive job for the next government to do, if it is to be made up of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, to show that, you know, all of the things that were said in the lead up to the election about commencements and having the right policy and the Land Development Agency taking off as opposed to a government housing agency. This will really be the proving ground for that. And whatever about the political stakes for the parties in government, the social stakes for people who are affected by this issue are far higher.
I entirely agree, Colm. And it's why, you know, 4.5 years ago, Fianna Fáil voted, and the members of the party on any programme for government will have to vote for it. We voted to go into government, was to address some of the challenges on housing. When you asked about the questions around the programme for government, I didn't talk about, you know, positions or places. I talked about what's important to our members and to the members of our parliamentary party. The reason that we're in government is to address the housing issue. And I think we found during the election campaign, yes, there's still challenges. And yes, we want to address the problems around homelessness. But there is a recognition about progress. And people
Can I ask you a question on this? And I'll come to Thomas Gould on this, because I do think this is an interesting question. You'll be in government now, and there is an opportunity to take that, I suppose, signature policy proposal that was in Eoghan O'Brien's housing plan from Sinn Féin, and to at least ask the banks whether or not the possibility of building a house on public land where the state would retain ownership was, whether that would fly, because the issue that was that Sinn Féin said there was with it before, when they were in opposition clearly and writing a manifesto, was that, look, we're not in government, we're not talking about brass tacks, we haven't been given to understand that there's a major issue with this, but if we were in government, at least we could talk about a hard proposal, and we would expect that the banks would talk to us on that basis. Is it worth testing it?
Well, I, as I said before, I think it's always worth exploring every idea, but I think it's been pretty clear and, you know, during the leaders' debate, it was very clear Sinn Féin wasn't fully engaged with its own policy.
Well, could I just draw a distinction there? The leader appearing unfamiliar with every granular aspect of our housing spokesperson's housing plan is one thing. Whether or not the banks would actually lend is a different thing. And if this could significantly reduce the price of housing, isn't it worth asking them?
Well, funnily enough, Colm, I think given that housing is the biggest and most important issue in the state, and I can tell you at our parliamentary party meetings where we have in-depth debates about the granularity of it, the leader will certainly understand the nature of our housing policy.
That's a separate point. Let's get back to the substance of the question, as your party leader might say.
No. But it is really important. And we have a very clear plan in terms of housing for all. And if we look at what Darragh O'Brien has been able to achieve and deliver. And people forget about the fact that we are seeing a reduction in council housing. This is important, Colm. There are more social houses being built than ever before. There is a fundamental difference.
That's because there was a fall in social, and I'll come back to Thomas Gould in this minute.
You have to acknowledge the progress, because I can look at it in Wicklow and Wexford, you know, two counties that I'm now representing. We have seen between a 33 and a 35% reduction in the council waiting list.
To get back to the original question, is it fair to say that the net point is, in principle, you don't see any problem with finding out whether the plan is a flyer, but in practice,
we have a housing policy which we put forward as part of our manifesto. Our difference is also around where we support the principle that if somebody works hard, they should be able to aspire to own their own home. That's why, you know, we've introduced Help to Buy scheme and various other supports.
I'll come back to you, Christine, on this. Sorry. Yeah, but Thomas Gould, you've been listening there to what Malcolm Byrne has to say. Again, on the policy issue, I mean, if you're not part of the makeup of the next government, will there be pressure put on in housing debates to try to get some of the, I suppose, standalone proposals that Sinn Féin had in their housing plan onto the agenda of the next government and put pressure on them if they're not minded to take them up?
Yes, well, and just listen to Malcolm. Just to fact check Malcolm there on something, he talked about the reduction of people in social housing waiting list. The number one reason for that is, most people now earn more than the threshold, because even though the minister did raise them a few years ago, they hadn't been risen for over a decade before that. So, and most people who are on the average industrial wage now cannot qualify for social housing, and that's something that Fianna Fáil and Fianna Gael have implemented. So they're driving ordinary working people off the social housing list, and that's a fact, Malcolm. But just getting back to Malcolm's point, like, if we came up with the solution to the housing crisis, which we think our plan, especially the affordable housing plan, would be, Fianna Fáil and Fianna Gael won't accept it, because they're more interested in protecting speculators, vulture funds that are coming in, buying apartments up all over the place.
This is nonsense.
Landholders. All right, I didn't interrupt you, Malcolm.
I know, but I do have to let Malcolm... It's a direct accusation accusing them of bad faith and protected vested interests. So I do actually have to let him respond to that.
Look, it's very clear. I speak, as does every other elected representative, to people who are at risk of homelessness, who want to own their own home. You know, housing is the biggest issue. All during the election campaign, we made
Malcolm,
that very
I know
clear.
That.
I made the very clear else. Point at the start of this discussion around the programme for government. Fianna Fáil would make sure that housing was the top priority. At all of our parliamentary party meetings, and this is why it's so shocking that the leader of Sinn Féin isn't familiar with the detail of our own party's policy, because all of my at my parliamentary party meetings, we have in-depth debates, and that's why we saw things like planning legislation.
You did make that point already. I need to go back to Thomas Gould, and then I'll come to Christine Finn. Yep.
Like, you hear Malcolm talking now about how concerned Fianna Fáil are. There are 15,000 people homeless, Malcolm. It's actually probably gone up now since the figures came out last week, right? That's, like, if you're that concerned, there are thousands of boarded up houses that local authorities own that the government isn't giving money for. There are over 160,000 vacant houses. But you know what it is, Malcolm? You will not tackle the landholders. I'm sitting in Cork City studio now, and from where I'm sitting, there are dozens of empty houses, vacant houses, not derelict, that could be turned around. We would bring in a derelict site, a vacant sites levy, that would encourage landlords to do them up, and where they don't do them up, we would penalise them. And just to give Malcolm another statistic, the average age now to purchase a house in Ireland is 39 years. Under Fianna Fáil, in the last 5 years, and the 4 years before that, with the confidence and supply, home ownership has dived in this country because of your policies.
All right. And I suppose the net point, the question, in a yes or no answer, those issues like the affordable homes scheme that you were talking about in the lead up to the election, which is obviously still your policy, and vacancy and all of that, you'll be trying to put pressure on government over the next weeks, months, years to try and get some of those proposals taken up, presumably.
And we would hope they would take them on, because at this stage, if Fianna Fáil and Fianna Gael do cobble together a government, we will try to be solution based and put forward, because at the end of the day, it's not about politics, it's about There's people crying out for homes, and we've got solutions, and we think they'll help.
Okay, I'm going to let Christina Finn in there.
Yeah, just to come in. Listening to the back and forth between the two politicians, I think one thing that I would like to see, and I think a lot of people would like to see in this new government, is a change from parties wanting their fingerprints all over different housing policy matters. Because at the end of the day, it's been a crisis for too long. If people have an idea, I think it's worth discussing, no matter what party it's from. So a lot of people did vote for Sinn Féin. Yes, they're not the largest party in the Dáil anymore, but a substantial people perhaps voted for Eoin Óibrín's housing plan and perhaps believed in it. There has been criticism of it throughout the campaign that maybe, yes, the banks won't back it. But what is the harm in asking the banks if this is on the table with the backing of a government rather than just an opposition party? You know, that perhaps is why the banks couldn't say one way or the other, yes, hypothetically, maybe we will. If the Taoiseach goes to the banks and says this is something we might actually consider, I think you would get a lot more of a, you know, a serious response, whether it's actually, no, this is not a runner, or yes, it is. Because we've seen, like, the rent credit, which the government ended up bringing in, I believe was a Sinn Féin policy.
That's right,
yes. Corrected.
Yeah.
It initially was before Micheál Martin, before it was suggested, cost rental. The Greens constantly said it was their idea. It was their idea and or someone else's, but it's always got different, it comes from places.
They said it wouldn't have been adopted in government had it not been for them.
Yeah, so, you know, people bring different ideas, and rather than infighting about who has the ownership over or whose name is on it, I think people just want to know if that's a good idea. Can we find out if it's workable? If it's not, let's put it in the bin, and if it isn't, let's run with it.
All right. It sounds, Jennifer Kavanagh, like a slaunch of care approach to a lot more of the problems in the next few years.
Yeah, and one thing that came across to me from just talking to people about the election is a lot were saying, well, they've been in government for so long, why haven't they done it? Now, I can understand why in the year before a general election you wouldn't necessarily give serious credence to an opposition policy, because if it worked, they'll just be going, we're great, you should be voting for us. But we're going into another 5-year government cycle, hopefully, touch wood. We don't want to be launched into another election too quickly, especially before a presidential election. But go and try it. I mean, property law is just full of different permutations that have been out there on ownership to deal with societal issues from the Crusades going forwards. And I won't give the entire nation a property law lecture. But if there is something that could work...
Oh, go on. Pope Urban II, 1097, preaching the First Crusade. The second sons who lost out under primogenitors, property dispossessed, swept to the Holy Land. This is exactly what we need.
Even primogenitor was gotten rid of. But at the end of the day, people's patience will get worn out, because they are looking at the similar government formation going in. And a lot of people, even my own mother listening to the debate, said, I've heard this same plan now for the last 30 years. So things need to get fixed. It's no longer time for having advisory groups or talking shops. Get the stuff done.
And that's why, and to be blunt, we were very tempted nearly to go with the slogan, Dara gets it done. Because if we look at the big challenge in housing, is on the supply side. Because it's about being able to address homelessness, to make sure that people can have a place to rent and so on. It's on the supply.
But we're looking at the boom, we were building the most houses we ever had, and the prices were never higher.
You've got to remember that we went from a situation whereby, and by the way, this is a big difference between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. Fine Gael's approach to housing had always been much more market driven. You saw from Eoin Murphy's remarks around the challenges he faced.
There weren't too many social houses built now in the lifetime of Bertie Ahern's governments.
There were, in fact, when...
Direct build housing.
Not direct build, but there were acquisitions.
No, there was 20...
What we're now seeing...
There was Part 5 of the Planning Act.
Which
is different.
What we're now seeing is a situation that, for instance, in the first 6 months of this year, we've had something of the order of about 35,000 housing commencements.
Okay. It's very... Hang on a second. You can't claim on one hand that we've had the highest amount of social housing housing built since 1975 and then try and say that the Fianna Fáil governments from 1997 to 2011 were also doing it. I mean, the two can't sit beside by side.
The difference was there, it was part five and it was being built, which I'm accepting. Okay, the difference that we have, and here's the crucial question, it's around increasing supply. Okay. And by the way, about, you know, dealing with derelict...
Affordability is the key, not supply.
Okay, we've got a couple more topics to
cover.
Thomas Kuhn.
Yeah, on Friday, I spoke to a grandmother who had three granddaughters in Australia, two nurses and one accountant. They're either after buying or in the process of buying homes in Australia. They have no hope of coming home because the jobs they have over there are so good, the pay is so good, the terms condition is so good, they're not under constant pressure. We were watching Katie Hanlon last night, where a teacher spoke about having to emigrate. She was nearly emotional because of it. I listened to Malcolm talk about Minister Dara O'Brien's plan. There was targets. We were saying, the ASRI was saying, everyone was saying that we needed to be at 50,000 at least a year, where the government had targets of under 30 and over 30. They're not going to hit their targets this year. And for Malcolm to talk to the people of Ireland tonight on this show...
And if they do, Thomas Gould, and if the commencement figures that Dara O'Brien was talking about before and ends up showing a spike in houses being built by the government, will you issue a statement welcoming that?
I will issue a statement when Dara can bring down those homeless figures, when Dara can bring down the people who are living in box bedrooms, when young people can afford to buy a house or rent a house. And like we're listening to talking about Dara could do it or whatever Malcolm suggested.
Dara gets it done, I think, is what he said.
Can I swear to God, no, like, is he joking with people? Does he not really understand the devastation that the housing and the homeless crisis is causing people? Like, is that the triviality that they take this with?
That's totally unfair because...
You said it, not me.
Thomas, listen, you're not listening. At the very start of this, when Colm started talking about what we want to do and why are we in government... And people would kind of wonder, you've got to remember that Fianna Fáil won this election in terms of the greatest number of votes and the greatest number of seats. And part of it is because people believe that Fianna Fáil is best placed to be able to address the housing challenge.
No, there's no
which
evidence
is,
to that. There's
is,
no,
because it's Malcolm, very clear, your party 60, fell by 5.5% support.
60%
and people don't believe the fact that you
right,
don't
okay,
believe in home
right,
ownership.
Okay. The listeners can hear nothing here.
If we can just make one point.
We need to get to other topics.
Almost 60% of people didn't vote for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael.
Well, that's
the facts.
Over 80% didn't vote for Sinn Féin.
And you can't just, this is a representative, we
have a rare moment of agreement. We're going to hit the ads. We'll be back with more topics in a second.
The Late Debate with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.